They talk amongst each other and they say, well, if we say that John the Baptist was a prophet, well, they didn't believe he was a prophet, so they didn't want to say that. But if we'd say he wasn't a prophet, then the people will get upset with us because all the people believed he was a prophet. And so Jesus is trying to say, what kind of expectations do you have? Who is this person? And Jesus says, I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John.
Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So this guy who, John the Baptist, by the way, who didn't drink wine, he wasn't a partier, he lived out in the desert, he was a hermit who wore burlap, and, he ate from the wild. I mean, he lived this very strange life. And Jesus calls him greater. He's greater than anybody else born of women. Then Jesus says, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Again, through this conversation, Jesus is trying to change people's expectations. He's trying to change expectations. Verse 29 says, all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus says, to what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry. For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by all her children. In this passage, this parable that Jesus uses, we played the flute for you and you did not dance, we sang a dirge and you did not cry. He uses that to describe the Pharisees. Whatever you expect, your expectations are not being met. You expect, on one hand, this extreme, and your expectations aren't met. And then you expect the other extreme, and your expectations aren't met. You fail to understand what success is. You fail to understand what really matters. This passage, Jesus is trying to get the people that he's speaking to change their expectations. Because really, it's our expectations that help determine how we live. What we believe does matter. And because what we believe matters, the expectations that we develop shape the choices we make. If we believe that success equals a nice job, then we prioritize education to get that job. We prioritize sacrificing certain things to achieve that and to obtain that job. If we believe success is a lot of money, then the choices we make to get that, well, that those choices will be to meet our expectations. Luke chapter 19. Jesus is going through Jericho, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. You guys know this song? Some of you are singing it already in your heads. Does anybody know the motions? I don't remember the motions. No? Anybody? You do. Come on, Elizabeth. Come on up. Aw, please. If I... Pretty please. No? Anybody else remember the motions? If you have some help? No? You sit there and you tell me and I'll imitate you, okay? Oh, you don't remember them all? All right. I don't even know if I could sing it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Oh, now, does anybody else know the motions? There's like 18 people here doing them. Nobody just wants to admit it. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. I'm going to your house today." Okay, I had to read the lyrics. You guys are doing it from memory. You know the song, right? That's a great song. We love it from our childhood. It's fun. You got emotions. Warm, fond memories. But it doesn't actually tell the story that matters. That song is like the intro to the story. That song's the trigger, okay? So when you hear that song, it's not the song. You know, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, doesn't matter. All that matters is to tell us that because he couldn't see, but he wanted to see Jesus, he was willing to climb a tree to see Jesus. But the fact that he climbed the tree doesn't matter. The fact that he saw the tree, or saw Jesus, doesn't matter. The fact that Jesus saw him, Jesus knew he was there, that doesn't matter. And the fact that Jesus went to his house ultimately doesn't matter. Let me read the actual story. Of course, he said, climbs a tree. Jesus looks at him and says, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your home today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. So the song's over, okay? The song is done. And here's the story that matters. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Remember, the story told us, well, not in the song, but the story told us that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. In fact, he was a chief tax collector. That means that all the guys who were tax collectors who told people they had to pay their taxes and then they took a little bit off the top for themselves, they paid to Zacchaeus, who took some off the top for himself, and he's the one who is responsible to sending it to the government, to the Romans. All the people saw Jesus, and they saw Zacchaeus' response, and they were just flabbergasted because he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. The NIV has this in quotation marks. Okay, so, you know, they're not standing around saying, "Jesus is going to be a guest of someone who sins." This is, he's going to be the guest with a sinner. Okay, you got to spit when you say it. This guy was scum. Jesus was going into the home to eat with, to fellowship, to be a guest of, this was a big deal. This wasn't just that Zacchaeus was going to give him a hot meal. This meant that Jesus approved. In their minds, their expectation was that Jesus approved of this man. That's what that meant to them. Verse 8, "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Lord, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount.'" That's pretty impressive. Half his possessions. Right then and there. Give to the poor. And then anybody he's cheated, he'll pay back four times. Now, Jesus didn't tell him to do this. Jesus didn't look up in the tree and say, "Zacchaeus, sell everything you have and give it to the poor and then come follow me." He said that to someone else, but not to Zacchaeus. He didn't look up at the tree and say, "Zacchaeus, you're a sinner." He said, "Zacchaeus, we're going to your house to eat." It was because the people had different expectations. It was because the people looked at Zacchaeus and saw him as someone despicable that Zacchaeus stood up and responded. And whether he was trying to protect himself or whether he was trying to protect the image of Jesus or whether he was just trying to stand up and say, "No, your expectations of me are wrong. I'm not such a bad guy." But regardless, he was responding to their expectations, and Zacchaeus stood up and said, Lord, I'm not such a bad guy. Right now, I'll give half my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And then Jesus says to Zacchaeus, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Jesus is again trying to change the expectations of the people and redefine what matters and redefine what success is. Zacchaeus was a Jew, and salvation came to his home because he was a son of Abraham, because he was found. He was lost, and now he's found. That's what Jesus is saying. The Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. And right then and there, Jesus found someone that was lost, and now he was saved. His life was turned around because he met Jesus. Do you see that? He lived a certain way. His expectations were, okay, I've got this job because it's going to make me wealthy, and I've got this job, and things are going well for me. But he heard about Jesus. He knew that Jesus healed people. He knew that what Jesus taught was powerful. He knew that Jesus was this amazing teacher. And there's all sorts of buzz and around Jesus about what he's been doing, about his ministry. And he just wants to catch a glimpse of something greater. He wants to catch a glimpse of something better. Because he realized that the success he had achieved didn't really matter. And so he caught a glimpse of this something better, but he didn't just catch a glimpse. He actually met Jesus. He fellowshipped with Jesus. And that changed his life. His life turned around, and he redefined what success was right then and there. Just by meeting Jesus, his life was transformed. And success was no longer having a great deal. Success became how he treated other people. How he lived. How he ran the race. The problem we have with our lives, the failure we come to in our lives, isn't that we don't achieve our goals. It isn't that we don't achieve our dreams. It isn't that we fail at juggling or playing the harmonica or riding a bicycle. It isn't that we don't get the job we wanted. It isn't that we don't have the family we wanted. The problem is not our failure to do any of those things. The problem is that we don't understand what success is. And it's only in Jesus, it's only in meeting Him, it's only in being Him that success is redefined. That our lives are transformed. That we realize what really matters. And this is one of the hardest things for us to grasp onto. What do you expect from yourself? What do you expect from other people? This is why we have such a difficult time with grace. You see, we don't show grace when our expectations aren't met. When our expectations aren't met, then we become upset, we become angry, we become bitter, we have all kinds of responses when our expectations aren't met. Because we think that meeting those expectations means that everything is going to be good. Everything will be better. Everything will be right. Grace comes in and says that those expectations, when they aren't met, doesn't matter. Now, don't take this too far, because how we live our lives does matter. When we fail by sinning, That does matter. What also matters is when someone else fails by sinning, is that we respond with kindness and grace and love to restore them. Our desire is not to condemn. Our desire is not to judge. Our desire is to see them restored in Jesus Christ. What kind of expectations do you have? And what does it really matter if those expectations aren't met? Think about it, honestly. When you were in school, anybody get a C in school? A few of you aren't willing to admit it, maybe? I don't know. Anybody get a D in school? Anybody? Did anybody, and we're talking kindergarten through, and so maybe, I don't know if you had pass-fails back in the day, for those of you who are a little bit older, or if you had actual grades or what. Did anybody get an F or fail anything? Anybody? For those of you that failed something, did that ruin your life? At that moment. Someone said at that moment it did. No. Did anybody not graduate from high school? Okay, couple. Did that ruin your life? We look at the people around us and we, you know, I believe in education. We have a retired principal in here, and she knows that I support and believe that education is important. I believe education is valuable. But we look at our community and we look at students who did not graduate from high school, and we look at them as failures. Why? Because they didn't meet our expectations. Right? In fact, I do this, but it amazes me that we can look at a person and look at them and think and maybe even say that they are a failure. Look, Jesus came to seek and to save what was lost. The people who fail are those people who hear the words of Jesus and fail and do not put them into practice. That's what failure is. We sang a song about standing on the rock and not in the sand. Jesus says, if you hear my words and you don't put them into practice, you're like a person who builds a house on the sand and it just, the water comes and washes them away. We're like the seed that's been thrown on the path or in the rocks or among the weeds because we all these other things come into our lives and we fail to put the words of Jesus into practice into our lives. That's the only failure that matters. Success is being in Jesus, living in Jesus, and failure is not living in Jesus. So we could go around and look at all the people who don't believe in Jesus and call them failures. We do, and sometimes we do that. Sometimes we think about the people who are drunkards. We think about those who are drug addicts. We think about those who have all sorts of problems in their lives and they don't know Jesus, and we think of them as failures. But if they haven't heard the words of Jesus, if they haven't met Him, then it doesn't matter yet. What matters is Jesus. What matters is knowing Him and living in Him. This is a difficult one for me. It's difficult because I have lots of expectations. Be honest. Do you have lots of expectations? I have expectations for my wife. And when she doesn't meet those expectations, boy, do I get frustrated and upset with her. Anybody can relate? Anybody? No? Is it just me? Right? Yeah. Sure. Just me. And I have expectations for my children. How many of you have expectations for your children? Yeah?
And I mean, you know, if we sat here and listed just my expectations, we'd be here the rest of the day. Imagine us listing all of each other's expectations. Guess what? I have expectations for all of you. Aren't you glad to know that? Do you have expectations of me? Certainly. Do you have expectations of each other? I wouldn't doubt it. We have expectations of our neighbors, right? That their grass doesn't get over a certain height. That they don't play their music too loudly, especially during time to sleep. That their cars aren't a nuisance to us. Right? We have expectations of the person at the checkout line in the grocery store. We live our lives by expectations. Do you get that? Everywhere we go. And we have expectations for ourselves. I spend more time thinking about all the things I've failed to do and all the things I'd like to do than I do doing anything. Let me ask you, what is success? What is success for you? Let me rephrase. I don't mean like, you know, when you're sitting in a Bible study and say, what does this verse mean to you? No, there's one right answer. That's what this sermon's been about. There is a right answer here. I want to know, do you understand what it means for you to be successful? And do you understand what it means for the people around you to be successful? I'll give you the answer. Life in Jesus. Follow, and Paul says this, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 10, kind of nearing the end of his thought process. We introduced it with 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. He finishes his thought process in chapter 10, near the end of chapter 10, by saying, follow me, follow my example as I follow Christ. Live like me when I am living like Him. You know what? Live like Jesus. That's success.